In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
When we begin today's gospel story in the 17th chapter of Luke, Jesus' disciples have been sitting at his feet for a long time. And Jesus is on a roll, dishing out the demands of discipleship, which amount to a pretty arduous list. Love your enemies. Hate your family. Bless those who curse you. Give without expecting anything in return. Forgive someone 7 times over in 1 day. It's no wonder then that the disciples cry out, "Increase our faith." In the face of such difficult teaching, increase our faith, Jesus. We are ill-equipped and underqualified. Increase our faith so that we can tackle this seemingly impossible list of instructions. And how does Jesus respond to their plea? If you had the faith the size of a mustard seed, you could say to this mulberry tree, "Be uprooted and planted in the sea," and it would obey you. Ouch. That feels like a dig. If I had faith the size of a mustard seed? Some Bible scholars say Jesus is chastising his disciples for demonstrating a lack of faith. That's definitely what the verse sounds like on its face. But other scholars claim that according to the biblical Greek, the phrasing should read more like this. If you had the faith the size of a mustard seed, which you do have, you could tell this mulberry tree to be uprooted and planted in the sea, and it would obey you. So arguably, Jesus is actually encouraging his disciples, suggesting they don't recognize the power of the faith they already have. I tend to favor the latter interpretation. But either way, the disciples are clearly just asking for help. Jesus, give us the faith to do this better. You talk about loving our neighbor, you talk about forgiveness, and we want to follow, we really do. But we need you to help us out here so that we can embody this great love to which you call us. I can relate to that. What Jesus asks of us can seem overwhelming at times. Jesus, increase my faith. It's a familiar cry, this request for more. Whenever the church is faced with challenges, we say we need more. We need more resources, we need more planning, we need more people, we need more of everything before we can possibly do all that Jesus calls us to. Likewise, we may put off reading the Bible until we know more about the Bible from scholarly sources. We may put off volunteering until we have more time, or put off increasing our pledge until we're making just a bit more money. So what's the answer? Keep waiting around until conditions are perfect? Or wait for God to give us more faith so that we can overcome the imperfect conditions that we face? Well, one thing I hear Jesus saying is this: don't claim lack of faith as a cop-out for doing what I asked you. Don't say, "Well, I'm having a hard time forgiving this person 7 times over. I can forgive 3 times over, and if Jesus had given me more faith, then maybe I could do more, but alas, that's all I have." Similarly, don't say, "Well, on balance, my faith is pretty good. I go to church and I'm an upright citizen. I may be rude to my spouse every now and again and not do much for the poor, but on the grand scale, I'm all right." My faithfulness is worth more than my unfaithfulness. Now we know that attitude doesn't work either. So where does this leave us? Well, this is where I think the second part of our gospel comes in. And Jesus uses a rather unsettling image. He compares the disciples to slaves who are bound to serve. And he asks them if a slave would ever request to eat with his master or want special praise for doing his job. And Jesus is posing this as a rhetorical question. And the answer is a resounding no. Now, we know that our Lord never speaks unkindly about people of low status. He is always humbling the proud and lifting up the lowly. So it's safe to say he is not denigrating slaves, nor is he commenting on the practice of buying and selling people. What he's talking about is the bond between master and slave in first century Palestine. It is not revocable. And it is not a choice, just like the bond between us and God. And in that bond, God expects us to do acts of love because that's our job as Christians. Just like we can't use faith or lack of faith as an excuse to not do our Christian duty, we don't need to pat ourselves on the back for doing our Christian duty. We're not faithful to get into heaven. We're not faithful to earn an award or receive recognition. We're faithful because it's a way of life, and it brings us closer to God. In other words, the disciples' request for more faith is misplaced. How much faith do I have is the wrong question. The better question is, what am I doing with the faith that I have? How am I using it to glorify God and help others and develop my relationship with Jesus? Because that's where the reward lies, in the here and now, in living faithfully out of what we have already received, not what we hope to receive in the future. If we have enough faith to be faithful, which we do, well, that's enough. God always gives us enough. However, sometimes it doesn't feel that way. God knows that sometimes in life, we may feel utterly depleted. We may feel like we really don't have a mustard seed of faith, or that we've lost our faith altogether. And that's okay. That is truly okay, because God has given us a community of faith. Faith is a living spiritual force. It draws us together. It's meant to be shared. In our community, faith can be contagious. In our community, faith can be something we hold for one another. In fact, we can actually be carried by the faith of other people. When life circumstances calls you to doubt, the rest of us will surround and uphold you. If you question your faith, perhaps to the point that you can't even muster the words of the Nicene Creed, the rest of this community will say it on your behalf. When you have suffered a devastating loss and you have no words to pray, this community will offer prayers for you. The opposite is also true. When you are brimming with love for Jesus and the joy of the Lord, you buoy those around you. When you belt out a hymn in worship, you support those who need to be carried in song. And when you speak about God's presence in your life or offer an encouraging word rooted in Christian hope, you join God in building up the body of Christ. One of my favorite Bible passages is found in Paul's letter to the Ephesians, chapter 4. He writes that God equips the saints, that's you and me, God equips the saints for building up the body of Christ until all of us come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to maturity, to the measure of the full stature of Christ. That is the strength of our community, which allows us to grow into the best Christians we can be. No matter where you are in your spiritual journey, no matter how familiar you are with the Church of the Incarnation, as you move deeper into the life of this parish, showing up for worship, showing up for each other, and showing up for Jesus, your faith will increase. Simply being here will increase your faith and the faith of those around you. So thank you for coming. There is plenty of faith to go around. Amen.